Let us pray. God, we give you thanks this morning as you are with us, as we journey together on this Sunday, as we journey together in this world, as we journey together through the wilderness. May your Holy Spirit guide us. May your Holy Spirit guide me as I stand here being a channel of your word. I ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lent has finally started. It's like, I have to admit that it's very different from Advent, where we buy calendars that are filled with numbers, with chocolate or candy, or lately beauty products hidden behind those numbers. Lent is a little more difficult. First, it's longer, and there's a sense of us having to give up something. And I have to admit that 13 years ago when I first started youth ministry, this was a big thing. I remember being in youth group, being in a small group Bible study, and we would all talk about Lent. And of course, one of the things we do is we say, so what are we going to give up for Lent? And so let's say there's six or seven of us, and the first person says, oh, I don't know, I'll give up playing video games. And the next person will say, oh, I don't know, I'll give up chocolate. And then the next will be a teacher, and they'll say, oh, I'll give up coffee. Someone will say, oh, I'll give up swearing. Or someone will say, oh, I will give up arguing with my parents, and so forth. The thing is, if there's seven or eight people, as each person says one thing, there is this added pressure that we can't say the exact same thing, right? So as I sit here and as I watch the youth, you start hearing their minds go click, 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 click really quickly, because they're trying to come up with something that's brilliant, something that their youth pastor will like, and something that will amaze their classmates. But the problem with this is that so oftentimes, to that last person, you can't help but feel for them because they are kind of thrown in. They never chose to sit there. They never asked to go last. But they're thrown into this wilderness where they have to come up with something brilliant. But the thing is, they have to come up with something brilliant, but something tangible. They can't be like, oh, I'm going to give up kimchi, or I'm going to give up meat, or that's boring. They got to come up with something amazing. You know, these days, it's so great. We have so many social media platforms, like we'll give up Facebook, we'll give up Twitter, we'll give up Instagram, we'll give up Snapchat. But to this little boy or girl, he is thrown out into the wilderness to give this answer. And in some ways, that's what happens in the text today. Jesus is thrown into the wilderness. Lent this year comes in the lectionary B. And lectionary B goes through the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is just amazing, because Matthew and Luke will say that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, kind of like the Holy Spirit holding onto the hand of Jesus and saying, here we go, come with me into the wilderness for 40 days. If you want to start playing the video. In some ways, this is good. We have no sound, which means I can just preach as we watch this video. There is sound. Oh, gosh. So I'll just kind of preach over this. So this is an illustration of someone. If you can put the volume of this a little lower. Perfect. Thank you. Someone's illustration, if you see on the top left, you'll see a number. 2 and 3. And it'll go on. And so, as you watch and as you hear me, I hope this can help you visualize what the 40 days might have been like. But anyways, as I was saying, Jesus was just thrown into the wilderness. Just cast off into the wilderness. And Mark is so amazing because he only writes 3 verses on the temptation. Jesus was thrown in. He was left to spend time with the wild beasts, and the angels took care of him. Doesn't mention about the three times that Jesus was tempted, like the other Gospels. So it sparks our imagination. What would Jesus do for 40 days? This morning I asked Gloria, what do you think Jesus did for 40 days in the wilderness? That's a good question. Different from the wilderness we see in Alone in the Wild with Ed, right? Watch this video, it's a reminder that 40 is actually a pretty big number. How about in our world today? What is the wilderness today? For those of you who would like to watch it at your own pace, you can go to YouTube and search 40 days, and this is one of the first five things that will show up. What is our wilderness? Is our wilderness something similar to this? I first talked about this youth group where we'd all go around saying, you know, what will we give up? What will we give up in our lives so that our lives will be a wilderness? Chocolate, coffee, sugar, video games. Those are all wilderness. But there's also other wilderness that are happening around the world. I mean, I can't help but think about the events this past week. Events that took place in Florida. It's a wilderness. It's a wilderness world out there. And so many times we feel that we are ill-equipped to go through this wilderness. And sometimes we treat Lent as a way of working our muscles, of preparing ourselves for the wilderness that is ahead of us. We will join in the ministry of Jesus Christ as he suffered through the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But after those 40 nights that Jesus had spent in the wilderness, the question yet still remains. When he came back, when he said, I am back, did the world actually change? The world was still a wilderness. There were still lepers there. The Romans were still there. The Pharisees were still there. The tax collectors were still there. The prostitutes, they were all still there. It might not be a wilderness of wild beasts, but the fact is, the wilderness was not gone. Then what is the gospel? What is the good news? What can we learn? What can we experience from this wilderness? It's pretty easy. Verse 15 says this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe in the good news." The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news, in the gospel. The gospel is really simple. The good news is so simple. It's that the kingdom of God is near. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, even though we walk through the wilderness with wild beasts all around us, the good news, brothers and sisters, is that the kingdom of God is near. It's so interesting, isn't it? We're watching the Olympics and we see all these flags. We see people who are never patriotic and all of a sudden they're filled with flags. In Korea, they have a saying. Koreans become patriotic just twice in their lives. Well, three times. Number one, in the Olympics. Number two, during the World Cup. And number three, when they immigrate out of Korea. So, kingdom of God. Are we to be patriotic to this kingdom of God? Wave the flag of the cross all around us saying, the kingdom of God is near. But the kingdom that we talk about here, that the kingdom that Jesus talks about here is not a physical country. It's not a physical land. It is the beginning of Jesus spreading the message of love to all the world. It is the furthering of God's power to overturn what is wrong into right. See, Mark emphasizes this, and we'll hear this on and on this year as we talk about the kingdom of God, because Mark stresses it. He stresses it 16 times. He talks about the kingdom of God. He's not talking about a kingdom with a king who sits and rules with his two arms like this, kind of like what King Herod does at the pageant. But the kingdom of God is about how God is continuing to turn the wilderness into a garden of love and grace. You see, Lent is the opening. It's the beginning of Jesus' actual ministry as he walks through the wilderness of this earth, as he touches those who are ill, as he chooses to spend time with those who are lepers, spend time with those who are marginalized, those who have been thrown out of society. And each time he does that, he continues to say, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Years have passed. We look around the world, and quite frankly, we still live in a world that is the wilderness. We still live in a world that seems to be filled with wild beasts. We don't have to look very far. But the good news is that the kingdom of God is near. In each ticking moment, in each ticking second, the kingdom of God is drawing closer and closer. The sphere of God is continuing to go out and out. And we do that here at Kingsway Lambton. I always look at the list that our outreach committee and our UCW works. They're reaching out the continued transformation of the wilderness into spheres of God's kingdom. That's what we do. But it doesn't only happen at that level. As we walk down the street on Bloor Street, going to our bank or going to our coffee shop or going to our bakery to get some bread, as we stop, as we sit, as we talk to this person who's playing the violin or is playing his banjo to a tune we've never heard, simply saying, "How are you? Oh, God loves you. Is there anything I can do to help you?" When we happen to visit one of the senior homes, and we visit our family member or our church member, if we just choose to say, go to the next room and say, "How are you? I want you to know we're praying for you." Brothers and sisters, the world is filled with wilderness things. But our calling is to continue to go out, just like Jesus did. Because God's kingdom is near, and it's getting closer and closer. The real interesting thing in all of this is this. Mark's text today talks really about three stories. Number one, the baptism of Jesus Christ. Number two, his temptation. Number three, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. All of this in a sphere of seven verses. Pretty crazy. That's kind of what Mark is. He just kind of rushes through, kind of expects you to understand everything. But think about it. For many of us in this room, that's exactly what happens to us. We're baptized. We're confirmed the sons and daughters of God. We're tested each and every other day. And the angels continue to support us. And we go out continuing in the ministry of the coming year of God's kingdom. That's what we're called to do. And the thing is, sometimes it's easy, but most times it's hard. Trust me, everything that Hugh or I or anyone who stands up here and challenges you to do, none of that is easy. It was never meant to be easy. But isn't it great if we see a little bit of the wilderness continue to turn into God's kingdom, and to know that we, mere mortals, that we were part of that, and to know that God is continuing to support that, that the Holy Spirit leads us, that sometimes throws us into that moment. I want to join that. And I hope we can all choose to join that. Let us pray. God, we live in a world that is filled with wilderness things. Things we're afraid of, things that can give us harm. But God, you remind us that your kingdom is near. Your love continues to go out into the world. And so, God, we ask you at this time to use us to be your hands and feet of love as we continue to further God's kingdom, to further the overturning of what's wrong into right. Just as that little young girl in Florida who chose to speak out, God, give us the courage to continue in that ministry of love. We ask of this in Jesus' name.